Part two of the conversation with Keith Smith, focusing on Gordon Hayward, the long-term plans, and why Al Horford might be a cautionary tale on this Wednesday Locked On Celtics. Milt, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. Welcome back to another Locked On Celtics podcast. If you're a new listener, welcome aboard. Hope you enjoyed yesterday's show. Maybe you're here for part two and you're new. Hopefully you're going to subscribe at the end of the show. If you're just here for today's show, you missed part one yesterday. Keith Smith joined the show to break down some of the cap that we anticipate, the numbers that we anticipate. And the big question is about Gordon Hayward opting in, opting out, how that impacts the Celtics, the tax question, all of that stuff. A lot of that was answered in yesterday's podcast. Today, Keith and I, who works for Celtics Blog, by the way, and you can follow him on Twitter, Keith Smith NBA. Today, we're focusing a lot on Gordon Hayward specifically. Why would he opt in? Why would he potentially opt out? What's the draw for a long-term deal? What's the landscape look like? What's he thinking, potentially? So it's a lot to get into, and hopefully we kind of lay out both scenarios, and you can see I obviously kind of skew towards the it makes more sense for him to opt out and go long-term, but there are a lot of questions around that as well, and we're going to be exploring those in this podcast and, of course, as the week and month goes on. So, all of you new listeners, welcome aboard. Regular listeners, thank you as always. Again, this is part two of the conversation with Keith Smith. I'm not pretending to know what Gordon Hayward wants in his life, but you kind of see the type of person that he is, the type of situation that he's in. And you start to make some assumptions like, I think a level of security and not bouncing around is probably ideal for him. Because where's his family going to go? I guess his family would just go back to Indiana and then he would just have to bounce around. But like he's active in his family. Like if the Atlanta Hawks come up with an offer, is he going to move all of them down to Atlanta? Like, okay,
yeah,
we're going to move.
Exactly.
And then my contention is that if he opts in, then he may be opting into a journeyman existence for the rest of his career. Because if he opts in, then the Celtics will play the season out or trade him, one of those two things. It gives Romeo Langford a year to kind of take his spot. And if Romeo Langford does ascend and the Celtics say, hey, well, we can get plenty out of Romeo and we got him under control for a few more years at, you know, $3-4 million or so. I think that there is some level, unless he and the Celtics have a conversation and they back channel some sort of thing with Indiana and he says, I would love to go home and play at home. And if he feels like Indiana wants to keep him and he's happy to be traded there and the Celtics are happy with the trade return, then fine. But I think, and this is part of the reason why I wanted you on, because I wanted to get your take on the landscape of the options for Gordon Hayward. I think if he opts in and then is just, the Celtics say, all right, go play the market. Go see what you got out there. The offers that he's going to get, because the theory is opt in, roll the dice, maybe believe that this injury, this bad injury luck will actually turn, like will actually go away and you can have a full season. Say, hey, bet on yourself, play through this season. If you can be good again, then you're a free agent and you know, you've got value. But who's out there with the money? And where does he want to go? Are there any teams that are any good that have money that he's going to want to go to that are also going to want him? What's the actual landscape for Gordon Hayward?
In 2021, right? I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, so let's assume that he opts in and he's betting on himself.
He plays out the year with Boston. He has a similar year to this year, right?
Right, but he doesn't get hurt.
Doesn't get hurt, stays healthy.
Stays healthy, plays the full year. The Celtics go as far, wherever they go. I don't know, win a title, don't win a title, whatever. What's the landscape for him? Because we're talking about him entering free agency in one of the most loaded free agency classes.
Yeah, so that's the challenge. You have a ton of teams with cap space, and not all of them can sign Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, only one of them is going to sign him.
Right.
Right. And that may be the Milwaukee Bucks, who aren't one of the teams with cap space. You know, so maybe it's them. I personally think it will be, but that's a whole other podcast and story, and maybe another Locked On podcast, you know, entirely. But it is, you know, as I think about this, it is. So then what happens is Hayward is a secondary, tertiary type target for a team. You know, there's going to be more teams with cap space than there are going to be players to take that cap space. Not this summer, not this offseason, but the next offseason. I project there to be exactly half the league with cap space right now. Now, that'll change because somebody's going to do something that I think will have cap space this offseason or throughout the course of the next season up to the trade deadline that takes that cap space away. Maybe somebody takes on Chris Paul's contract or something like that. But you have teams like, you know, as I look at it, you have teams like Cleveland. Cleveland, I project them to have about $22 million in space or so. Cleveland could be a team that could be like, you know, Gordon Hayward for $20 million a year. That puts us over the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're pretty close to where we need to be. You know, maybe he puts us over the top. You have Dallas, you know, as a team that's going to have enough cap space to make him a reasonable offer. Denver could even be a team with cap space, probably unlikely, but could be, you know, there. You have the, you know, your host of bad teams, of course, but a team like Memphis is a team I really look at. About $26 million in space, probably that off season. Up and coming team, pretty good team, could look at it and say, you know what, put it there. Now that's where it enters into, where would he want to go? Does he want to be part of an up and coming team at that point? Does he want to play for more of a title contender? Or does he look at it and say, you know what, we're happy here in Boston. I just had a good season. You know, I stayed healthy finally. I, you know, delivered what hopefully people wanted. We're, you know, I know people are still stinging and some people like to yell and scream. They're not really contenders, but you make the Eastern Conference Finals, you're a contender. They should be, you know, have a chance to be just as good next season, if not better. So I think, you know, that at that point, that's where you start to say, all right, you know, what does he weigh leaving? Oh, and then again, to kind of add a third component on, is the Celtics side of it. Is do the Celtics look at it and say, we're good, we're moving on? You know, hey, will something have changed where they're like, you know what, we're better off if we go maybe a little bit bigger and we slide Tatum and Brown down a position. And that allows us to be, you know, a little bit of a different team that way. We add a little more size into the starting group, you know, because, we know basketball kind of evolves as seasons go and they kind of change. And then we're there's some people who think we're kind of heading towards the end of a life cycle of small ball. I've talked to some coaches who think it's now going to be about versatile bigs that can do things. And you know, we know teams fall in love with what they just saw. We just saw Anthony Davis as a 7-footer, you know, kill it from the perimeter for an entire finals, you know, really an entire playoff run. Now it's Anthony Davis. There's not a ton of him out there, but you know, teams will talk themselves into, well, for $8 million a year, this guy can be, you know, a third of an Anthony Davis for us and, you know, those kind of things. So that's where I think you start to look at it is, you know, how does that evolve? And will the Celtics say, you know, hey, thanks for everything. We wish it worked out better, but we're moving on too because, you know, or do we know Danny Ainge is famous with his take it or leave it? Or if a player comes to Danny Ainge and says, hey, got the deal, old Evan Turner, right? I got this offer for, you know, $16 million a season. Well, you better go sign it before they pull it. Oh, wait, we're giving it to you. Right. So, I, you know, does Hayward come
Portland,
in?
Buddy.
Exactly. Does Hayward come in with a, you know, hey, I have this offer for, you know, $25 million a year from Cleveland, and his agent's going to be like, go sign it, you know, have fun, you know, all the best to you. So I think that's where it becomes really interesting is, you know, it's as much as it's the immediate is his decision. After he opts in or opts out, everything from that point forward, if he opts in, it all starts to tilt the Celtics' way, at least until the next offseason. Then they can trade him. They can do whatever they want. Then he doesn't get power back again until after the 2021 season when he will be a free agent again. And then the last part, sorry, and I know I'm kind of rambling here, but, you know, we said people want this, is there's always the extension possibility too, where he could opt in and then he is extension eligible and they could sign him to an extension that makes a lot more sense for both parties involved. I just think that's very highly unlikely because I think, you know, what he would be opted in at, just it doesn't make a lot of sense to go the extension route if that's the way they wanted to go. But that could be on the table.
The conversation continues with me and with Keith in just a moment. First, Built Bar is my favorite protein bar that I've ever had, and I've tried a bunch. I used to have a different brand for kind of like a breakfast every day, and it turns out that was full of things I didn't want in a protein bar. What I get in Built Bar is a delicious taste, great flavor, great texture, and all the stuff I want in a protein bar nutritionally, and all the stuff that I don't want is not there. It's healthy, it's great for a health conscious person trying to lose weight, trying to maintain weight. It's perfect. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for a keto diet. Peanut butter is my flavor of choice, though there are a ton of flavors, and even if you've got a nut allergy, there are other flavors just for you. This one for me, 19 grams of protein, perfect for after I lift. 180 calories, I know that that's not going to negate the work that I'm doing. Why am I on that treadmill? Why am I on that elliptical machine if this thing, this one bar, is going to eliminate all of that stuff? Just 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. It's great. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. They've increased the discount. So go to LOCKEDON, even if you've used this promo code before, go to BuiltBar.com, use LOCKEDON for 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. I just see for the Celtics, and look, I admit, I'm going into this, I'm a Gordon Hayward believer. Now, I believe that the injuries that he suffered are freak injuries, and I don't consider him injury prone. He's just had a stretch of bad luck because he spent most of his career not getting hurt at all. Very durable guy.
He broke his hand fighting through a screen.
Right.
Who the hell does that?
It's so weird. You
know, I mean, that's just, yeah.
He got undercut and broke his ankle.
Yep.
That rarely happens. It happened to him.
Yep.
He got screened by LaMarcus Aldridge and hit LaMarcus Aldridge in the chest in the right way that it broke his hand. That never happens. And then he landed on somebody's foot and sprained his ankle pretty badly. Like, that's something that's common. That's why you have the rule about landing in the airspace, because bad injuries can happen when you land on somebody's foot. Does that make him injury prone? No.
No.
Injury prone is a guy, you know who's injury prone? Kemba Walker, because that same left knee flares up all the time, and that makes him injury prone, because then he'll have to compensate for that and other things can happen. That's what I consider injury prone. But Gordon Hayward has had shit luck, and so I think Gordon Hayward is a very, very good basketball player. And if he has any flaw, it's that he becomes too passive sometimes because he feels like someone else stepping up is like, or the stage is set for Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown or Kemba Walker, and he'll more pass to them even if he had the hot hand. Like, that's a flaw in his game. But if he opts in and they get rid of him, then how do they replace him? I say they cannot replace him. If your goal is to create a championship level team with good players, the best possible players that you can assemble, Gordon Hayward is the exact type of player that you're going to try to get because he's so versatile. He can do a lot. And I think his game can age well because he can evolve into just a shooter and a distributor. And he can either move to the bench quickly or eventually move to the bench. And the Celtics, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is why you're here, if Gordon Hayward goes away, they don't have the mechanism, they won't have the mechanism to replace him with any kind of equal level player because they're going to end up being over the cap for a long time because of Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart. And if they're going to keep Marcus Smart and, you know, extend him or whatever, they're kind of stuck. So that's why, that's another reason why I advocate for a long-term deal for Gordon Hayward, because you're not getting Gordon Hayward level production out of a $6 million player or a $9 million player.
Yep. Yeah, no, the only way that happens is if Romeo Langford or unknown draftee, you know,
right,
the, you know, moment steps up and is awesome.
Right.
You know, that's the only way you're getting that. And then, you know, I'm a big Romeo guy. I was a big fan. I thought, you know, he was going to do more in the bubble than he got the opportunity to. Clearly he was, you know, struggling with some stuff, but I don't know. I don't think we're going to get that. I'm certainly not counting on that from anybody from this draft. And, you know, and I'm with you on one thing. I want to touch on what you said about how he plays. That's the only thing that kills me too, is there's times when I'm like, dude, you have the matchup, go kill it. Like if Jason Tatum takes 10 shots tonight because you took 15 and killed your guy on those little paint pull-ups all game long, awesome, I'll live with him. I don't care, you know, and quite frankly, I don't think anybody cares. And did you win? That's what, you know, matters. And I think there's times when the way his basketball brain works is, all right, I shot it like three of the last four trips, I got to get the other guys involved. He almost thinks like a old school point guard of, I got to spread it around and make sure everybody's getting their touches and those kind of things. And I'm content to hang out in the corner over here and, you know, play, you know, let them do everything. So that gets frustrating, but you're absolutely right. So a couple of things, right? So this is my favorite thing with Celtics fans right now is, you know, a lot of people get in our mentions and sometimes our followers answer questions for us before we have the chance.
Right.
Right. You know, hey, John, what do you think about this? And then 15 people answer the guy before you even see the tweet.
Yeah.
So I get people, you know, well, why doesn't Hay, you know, I hope Hayward opts out and they just use that $34 million on somebody else. That is not how it works. You know, that's for this offseason that's coming right up. They are over the cap no matter what. They are pretty far over the cap. They'd have to lose all sorts of people and draft picks and all kinds of other stuff before we'd even approach that point. And that's because Jaylen Brown's contract extension kicks in with this coming season. Kemba Walker is there on a max deal. Marcus Smart makes pretty good money. You've got a bunch of draft picks that were high-ish enough that they make good money. So put that out of your mind right now. Hayward opts out this year and leaves, then you're really in a tough spot. You can't do anything to replace him. So that's, you know, one. Now, what I think you were going to is longer term, he, you know, opts in, plays it out, and then leaves. You're similarly screwed. You're hoping at that point, maybe you can make it a sign and trade with the team he wants to go to and kind of, you know, recoup some value, because you're absolutely right. You won't be able to replace him, because then you've got Jaylen Brown on a near max extension. You're going to have Tatum on what will be a max extension. That will be year one of that. You know, and if that's not the case, something really, really right. went wrong.
And that's going to be like $30+ million.
Yeah, likely. Yeah. If he makes all NBA again, yeah, you're probably looking in the $30-32 million range for him in that year one. And then you're going to have Kemba, you know, in what will be at that point year three of his deal at $36 million. So, you know, and Smart at 14, you've got Langford, Robert Williams, Grant Williams, those guys all together are combined for up over $10 million. You know, so that's where, yeah, you're not getting to cap space anytime soon. And you're going to have to really start to, at that point, all right, how do we get rid of Kemba Walker, you know, to create cap space? You know, what kind of deals are we doing if you're going to get there? So yeah, it's a problem, But the other thing is, too, if Hayward opts out and resigns this year, or he plays it out and then resigns, that doesn't preclude a trade later. We've seen Danny Ainge, maybe more so than any other GM in the NBA, and I think somewhat to his detriment at times, he's not sentimental or emotional about this stuff at all.
Right.
Traded Paul Pierce, one of the best players in franchise history, and said, see you later, go to Brooklyn, good luck, we're rebuilding, and we get 5 million picks. So, yeah, Gordon Hayward's probably not going to be there, but if there's a team that says to him in a couple years, and the Celtics never really made that jump, Gordon Hayward and Kemba Walker, we think they can together put us over the top, Danny Ainge will 100% say, done, let's do it. See you. Thanks, guys, for everything you did. We're rebuilding, around Tatum, Brown, and whatever we got, and we'll go forward that way. So that's the other thing too, because I've seen some people suggest, smart people too, not the kind of emotional fan Hayward people, is if you resign him, now you're stuck with him forever. No, you're not, because right. He's not going to get another max deal. That's not coming. Unless he comes out next season and scores, 20 plus points per game and, 10 rebounds and 9 assists and, is an all-star again, he's not getting another max contract. That's never happening again. So now you're just kind of planning what's next.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I talk about deals that, 4 or 5 years and, the security, but everybody knows that a trade is always possible, and especially if you've cut down his salary, and that might be the incentive for him to say, like, I'm not going to sign with you long term because you've cut my salary to a point now where I'm tradable. And, he'll be making and that's why, frankly, Marcus Smart keeps getting brought up, because Marcus Smart plus somebody is your deal for Giannis if all of a sudden he wants out and the Celtics feel like they can swoop in. It's like, well, we got Jalen and Marcus right here that add up to be a pretty nice number for you guys. And Hayward would certainly be part of that. There is no sentimentality here. There's no like, and everybody, I think everybody knows that. I think maybe Hayward would be a little bit different. But you know what? I will say this about Danny Ainge. He's not just trading these guys. He traded Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, but he did trade them to a good situation. It's correct. Not like he's just saying, like, ugh, I'm done with you, I need to get rid of this guy. Like,
absolutely.
He's, when he traded Rondo, we sent them to Dallas, and Dallas was good. And that didn't work, but like, when he trades guys, he traded Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, and people are like, oh my God, I can't believe he traded Isaiah Thomas after the hip injury and all that other stuff. But he traded him to a LeBron James team, they were in a position, and granted, Isaiah's hip never healed, the way it should have, or the way they wanted it to, but he traded them to, he made them teammates of LeBron James. That should have worked out pretty well for them. So I don't think that he's just going to trade Gordon Hayward 3 years from now because he's no longer useful. I think that I do think that he does take into some account, like, okay, I might need to trade him. Let me see what situations are out there. And he's not going to jettison him to like the New York Knicks just because. Now, I'm not saying he won't, but historically, Danny Ainge has kind of put these guys in decent situations, and those situations just didn't pan out for those players at that point. Wrapping up the show with Keith Smith in just a moment. First, this is a difficult conversation to have, I know, because it can be embarrassing or awkward if you're talking about erectile dysfunction. I know you tend to blame yourself, you tend to brush things off, you pretend you're tired, pretend you've had a long day of work, and you find ways to get out of that discussion, to get out of that situation. So that's why Roman is really important. It makes it easy to discuss and to treat erectile dysfunction. You can do it privately, you can do it within the confines of your own home. We know healthy life includes a healthy sex life. So if you struggle with erectile dysfunction, that can be something that makes you not feel like your best self. So if you want help, Roman connects you with a real U.S. licensed healthcare professional who can prescribe the medicine that you need. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. The whole process is very straightforward, it's very simple, and importantly, it's discreet. Getting started is simple. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn, complete an online visit. You'll get connected to a doctor, and it will be taken care of. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
No, I'm with you on that. I think, yeah, he is conscious of it while also making the deal that benefits the Celtics the most, you know, from what they need at that given time. It was with the Pierce KG trade, it was we're rebuilding and we got a bunch of picks. You know, and then, you know, I don't think even the most ardent supporter of the Celtics, you know, I don't think can make a real, you know, compelling argument that, yep, they knew it would all fall apart on Brooklyn. I think maybe by the time the Tatum pick conveyed, it was, yeah, they might not be very good because they're old, you know, but, you know, those early picks, I mean, it just Brooklyn never got to where anything ever happened and it all, you know, went sideways on them. I think with the IT trade, it was a chance to get Kyrie Irving.
Sure.
You know, so of course you're going to do it. You know, and that was, and you're absolutely right. You know, IT was supposed to be their starting point guard in Cleveland. He just never was healthy enough to get there and to make it happen. So I, you know, those are the ones when I look at those, I'm like, yeah, those are, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes. And that's, you know, kind of interesting, you know, with those things. So yeah, I don't think there would be any sense of like, just get him out of here. You know, I think it would be, all right, you know, we have a chance to put him in a good spot, plus, you know, make a pretty good trade for us. And I just, you know, I always go back to, you know, the old story of Danny Ainge going into Red Auerbach and saying, you know, you should trade Burden McGill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, I mean, that's, you know, now that one hurts me, right? Those are my guys that I grew up with.
Yeah. Right.
You know, those, right. Those are that, like, that just seems insane, you know, especially now, you know, on the back end of it. So yeah, I totally get it. It's, you know, but yeah, that's why it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if he moves on from anybody. And I think, you know, one last thing for me on the Hayward thing, we cannot discount why he came to Boston. It was the money, first of all.
Sure.
He could have got that money from Miami. He was offering the exact same deal, which is kind of interesting to think about now, is he could have been on the other side,
yeah,
of the floor there. And, you know, does he not get hurt? You know, what happens? Do they not have Jimmy Butler? What does that look like? But that's a whole, you know, what if universe. But the other piece was, he was very clear he came to Boston to play for Brad Stevens. And it's very clear he means a lot to Brad Stevens as well. So I think there is a piece there where that could change what Hayward is willing to do, because of, I think Boston has kind of become home for him in a very young family, you know, and there is a big time, it gets understated with these NBA players. They don't like to start stuff once the kids start school and all those things. They kind of, by that point, it's, I want to be where I'm going to be and be there for a little while. I don't want to be bouncing around. And to your point, you could very easily enter into this journeyman phase where it's a bunch of 2-year contracts and you're bouncing all over the league. And I don't think they want that at all. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe they just say, the family's in Indiana, I play where I play. But that's hard, right? Because you're then gone for half the year.
Right.
And that's, you know, that really ends up being, goes either. So I think that's going to be another thing that's going to weigh in for him, is the personal part of this decision, because it was clearly important to him to relink with Brad Stevens and, you know, be together again. And, you know, and that's I do think will have some weight.
I think that's a huge part. That's a huge part of what of my argument. And it was a huge part of my argument with Al Horford too. Like, and yep. Gordon Hayward more so than Al Horford, because, you know, there is that connection, like you mentioned, to Brad Stevens. But, you know, Al Horford still, you know, a little bit older, family, all of that stuff. I don't think he wanted to be bouncing around. And hey, look, maybe Hayward can look at Al Horford as the cautionary tale. Let's not discount that either, because he can look at Al and say, Al left for a good contract, a monster contract, certainly more than the Celtics were going to offer. So let's say Hayward says, okay, maybe I can get that kind of contract and I can go to a good team, whatever team that might be, whatever, let's just pretend.
Sure.
And then, well, Al Horford did that, and there's the possibility that it won't work out. And then you still become trade bait. Now, if Al Horford, what if the Sixers decide that we're gonna go for a shooter, we're gonna use Al Horford as bait to trade for Buddy Hield. Let's pretend that there's a deal there. Now Al Horford goes from Philly to Sacramento. Now that's just, you know, who the hell wants to go to Sacramento to play? And then from there, who knows what? Like, does that work out? And now Al Horford could be like I said, the cautionary tale, and Hayward could look at that and be like, do I want to risk having that happen to me, where if I stay here, I've got my family, and he's got a young family. Like, the kids are all like a year or two apart. And is it worth moving them, uprooting them to somewhere else, and taking that chance where I know Brad, I've known Brad, I know this system, I know these guys, I know what they need from me, I know what I need to give, I know where to go, like all of that stuff. Like, I got a nice house. Like, I think it just makes so much sense. But hey, man, the NBA doesn't make sense sometimes. And
rarely does.
That's the problem. Like, I'm looking at things from a non NBA, I think, perspective. I'm not in the middle of it, and I'm certainly don't have the option of taking $34 million or passing on $34 million. I think if that was in front of me, maybe I'd think a little bit differently. If anybody wants to offer me $34 million to do something to see if I react differently, please, I'm willing to enter that science experiment. Just
you can offer it to me, and I won't, it won't even be, I'll be the control group of, I took it. As long as it doesn't involve anything that's going to land me in jail, I'm in.
I don't know. I'm willing to talk about where that line is.
You know, one thing I want to say, you mentioned Al Horford, and, you know, I love the idea what you said is that the cautionary tale, because when I think about Al Horford, I mean, I reported it the day it was all happening that the Celtics were trying to arrange a series of sign and trades to keep Al Horford. And what ended up happening was he got more money than Boston was going to give him. They were not going to come up to the money that Philly offered. And at that point he said, I'm going there. I gave him my word already. And they offered me, you know, if Boston had matched it, it would have been make the sign and trades happen, do what you got to do, get there. And it probably would have cost them a pick, because Brooklyn had no reason to help in that deal for Kyrie. But I think the Celtics would have given a pick. I guarantee you, I shouldn't say it that way. I very much believe that if you could get Al Horford in a complete moment of honesty, give him truth serum or whatever, or maybe it's 5-10 years from now, we have the conversation and say, hey, do you wish you had stayed in Boston for a little bit less money? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I think he would look at it and say, yeah, I would have been the starting center on what likely might have been an NBA finals team, right there. Instead, to your point, you know, especially if it goes like, yeah, now I'm playing in Sacramento, and then the next year I'm playing in, you know, Cleveland, and I'm now bouncing around the NBA at the end of my career here. I think he would have stayed, and it was, I know a lot of people around the league feel similarly to that. You know, I think, I don't think she's ever come out directly and said it, but I think his sister has kind of hinted at that at times, is that's her belief as well, as, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes it's better to stay to a place, you know. So I think that's all going to factor in for Hayward as well. My thing is, I don't think it factors in until next year. though, next offseason. I think he's going to opt in because I think he's going to look at it as, I'm never making $34 million again. And just, you know, the player's mindset is, I'm not going to get hurt again. I'm going to be healthy. You know, I'll be fine. You know, and I think that's the mindset there is, he'll opt in and then say, we can work this all out a year from now, you know, in the off season after this, and we'll figure it out then.
I wonder if he sits there and watches what happened to Dak Prescott and he says, you know, because if I understand correctly, and I don't pay attention to NFL salary stuff, but Dak Prescott opted against longer term deals to play 1 year under the franchise tag, and, you know, roll the dice. Now, no one expects a potentially career altering injury, but there it is. And as a player who has already suffered one career altering injury and has had that bad luck, this is another reason why I wonder. And I wonder if Hayward sits there and watches that and is like, man, could that be, if I opt in, could that be me next year? And if that happens to me again, then forget it. Then the $34 million is the most you're going to make. Yeah. And you're never going to make that, whatever you're going to make over that second, third, fourth, fifth year, whatever, how many years that long-term contract is. That's another thing that I just wonder if Hayward, unlike Horford, who suffered a, you know, Horford was relatively healthy minus some nagging stuff, the tendonitis stuff.
Yep.
I just wonder if Hayward's history, if there's like a fear, like if I can get over 4 years, let's say, pretty close to what I would make by opting in and then signing a 3-year deal somewhere else. If I can get kind of in that general area, then I'll take the 4 years.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you can get there, yeah, then you do it.
And that's what I was saying. And that's why I originally go, that's why I talk about a 5-year contract, because you can spread that 5-year contract out. And I don't know if anybody wants to do a 5-year contract. I throw it out there as like, my rationale is always, you're rewarding him with an extra year for taking you out of that tax, for kind of renegotiating. And, you know, you throw him a little bone and say, hey, we're going to make sure that over the course of these 5 years, you're going to make more over these 5 years than you would have made by opting in and getting another free agent deal. Like,
if that's the way you can get him to take the declining contract as well, or we'll front load it a little bit and then decline it year over year after that, then absolutely. Then I'd give him that extra year because that's, you know, more than worth it.
Right. And then at that point, you know, 4 years from now, three, you can trade him. And then whatever, that's, you know, that's just
once
part
you've
of
been in a place 6-7 years, I think every NBA player assumes I'm getting traded.
Right.
It was funny. I had that conversation with Terrence Ross here in Orlando once, where he's like, man, once I had been here for 6 years, he's like, and I had been in about 15 different trade rumors, and my agent had called me at least 7 or 8 times and said, I think something's close. You know, it's, the clock's ticking.
Sure.
It's happening. You know, nobody goes wire to wire anymore, you know, with one franchise. It just doesn't happen, you know, whether by their choice or the teams, you know, it's going to be probably a long time before we see that again, you know. And I say that fully recognizing I don't think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum finish their careers with the Boston Celtics. It's just the math tells me that's not going to be how it plays out.
I know, that's just, it's wild. It's wild to say that because we're sitting here looking at just year 3 of Tatum and year 4 of Jaylen.
Yep.
And
everybody. Yeah, now I hope that's, you know, 7 years from now.
Right.
You know, and, you know, maybe a championship or two in there. But, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, you did the best you could with them. And that's what you hope for. But, yeah, no, there's not going to be more Udonis Haslams, you know, 17 years with one team, you know, floating around in the NBA anymore. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to sit here for the Celtics fans who are listening and dispute that. But we just saw LeBron James win a championship with his third team. You know, and really, in a way, his fourth. It just one of them had to be Cleveland twice. But like he's, you know, Kevin Durant is on his third different team. All of these stars are on their different teams now. Anthony Davis, like it's just how it is. And you hope that maybe something changes and you can have a wire to wire guy, but If Paul Pierce couldn't be the wire-to-wire guy, then, you know, who can be?
I think you're more likely wire. I think the most likely wire-to-wire guy on the Celtics is Marcus Smart, because I think he can keep re-signing to contracts that are never detrimental, nor are they so big that it is like, well, that's the obvious trade chip there. Because even now, right now, it's going to be Marcus Smart plus to go get us a, you know, much better player or anything like that. I think he's the guy, because I think you're probably looking at one more decent contract for him. And then he could become the Udonis Haslem type of guy, where it's a series of smaller contracts, sticks it out, hangs around. And by the end, you know, when he's in year 12 or whatever, he's more of a coach than he is a player, and you know, those kind of things. And that's, you know, what it is. And, you know, and that's those are the guys that stick around. The true superstars, they all, there's always a desire to, is it better if I haven't won? You know, I got to go somewhere else to win. Mm-hmm. Or I did it here. You know, that's LeBron, right? Yep. I won in Cleveland. I did it. Now I want to go play where I want to play.
Right.
You know, and that's a whole other issue, which is part of, you know, kind of tying it in with Hayward and all this stuff now. That's why it is so important to maximize everything when you can. Right. Because if you're close, I'm not saying you got to, if you're in Boston, to push all the chips in right now, but you got to maximize it. You got to do what you can to push over, you know, this next year, get over the hump, do what you got to do, really try to get there. Cause this team is too close and things change too fast in the NBA to know, you know, just because you were second in the East this year, you could be third or fourth or fifth, you know, in a year or two.
Yeah.
And it happens that quickly. And, you know, and that's the tough thing. I'd like to believe, you know, Tatum and Brown alone, I think are good enough that the Celtics, as long as they don't blow it and every other player on the roster around them, that's a playoff team for the next, you know, 6-7 years, as long as they're on the roster together. But that's not enough, right? We all know that. It's going to be seen as, what did you do? Being a playoff team is not enough. Right now, I'm bet they've done well. You know, I'm not critical of how far they've gone at all. Could they have been better, especially this year? Absolutely, they could have been. But I think it is important that next year, you're right back in contention for a championship. Because if you're not, that's when things start to potentially be like, all right, is this ever going to happen with this group? And what do we got to do now moving forward? And that's where it starts to get real messy.
Well, so many things need to go right. And we saw it with the Lakers and Miami. So many things need to go right for you to win a championship. Yep. So in the Celtics,
Anthony Davis, if whatever he did to his knee or leg or whatever it was, if that was what Hayward did, they don't win the title.
Right.
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 If he needed to be out for 3 or 4 weeks, they don't win the championship. You know, that's just the reality of it. You know, it's, you know, sometimes guys get hurt long enough that it makes a difference. And other times, you know, a lot has to go right. You need a lot of luck to get there and be there standing at the end. And I'm not saying the Lakers were lucky to win. They earned it. They deserved that championship. It is just, you know, it is, I do think it is, you know, to kind of a point where, yeah, there's some luck involved along the way where they didn't suffer any major injuries, you know, while they're in the bubble. You know, everybody stayed healthy. And that's, you know, that's huge.
It's huge. Huge. So the Celtics have a lot of work to do. Thank you for hopping on and helping us kind of talk through some of these options. I really want to take this time before we hear the official numbers and all that stuff to really set the stage for what we can expect. And thank you for helping do that.
No, absolutely. I'm happy to do that. I will have if anybody is, you know, wants more, over for Celtics blog, I'm going to do a full deep dive into a whole bunch of off-season things over the next week and a half, 2 weeks. That is going to be, you know, there's going to be a whole piece just about all the Gordon Hayward stuff. That one, I'm not going to be hurt if you skip it, because it's going to be a lot of what you and I just talked about. But then, you know, it's what do they do with the draft picks? You know, what happens with the rest of the guys who are on teams and on options and on guarantees? You know, what are realistic trade ideas? You know, well, that could actually happen and help the team. And I want to break all that down, hopefully, as a good setup for, you know, this is what it could be, you know, when we actually get into this offseason. Because it's funny, I don't expect the team to look drastically different next year. I think it's going to look pretty similar to what it looks like now with some moves around the edges. But I, saying that, I think this also has a chance to be a pretty big offseason for the Celtics. So I'm happy to come on and start breaking it down with you and getting a sense of, you know, where it might go.
Well, there is just so much to talk about when it comes to this, and there's more to get to as we continue to explore the options. So the Hayward conversation still isn't done, and hopefully we'll get to more kind of offshoots, more considerations. But Keith was great. I hope you follow him on Twitter, Keith Smith NBA. He was he's a great resource especially for the salary cap stuff. Follow his work on Celtics blog. If this was your first time listening, I hope you enjoyed the show. We're really trying to be informative here. I know you podcast listeners tend to be a little bit more invested, and this podcast will kind of hopefully teach you a little bit of something and do so in an entertaining way, something that gets you thinking about the game and understanding how teams are built. It's really important, I think, to understand how these teams are built. So when you hear these options being tossed around, you know what the real possibilities are. This way you can be prepared for whatever happens. So thank you for listening. You regular listeners, really appreciate you. Really appreciate a 5-star rating and a good written review. And of course, sharing the podcast whenever somebody asks what they should be listening to, you can say the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.